It's another week of This Week in Google Glass. Jeffrey Powers here. This week, we're going to be talking about Reddit and the suggestions that are going across the Reddit boards. Plus, we're going to see some cool mods for Google Glass and a whole bunch more. This is This Week in Google Glass. Hey, everybody. Jeffrey Powers here from Geekazine. Think Magazine put in a geek. You've got Geekazine over at This Week in Google Glass at thisweekingoogleglass.com or twig.tv, twigg.tv. And really quick, as you can see, I'm actually sitting down for this episode. I normally stand up for doing podcasts, but I'm doing some change up here. Got the microphone in front of me, and we'll see how that goes. Let me know what you think by letting me know my Twitter handle at Geekazine, and of course, Jeff at twig.tv. And then, of course, my cohort, with a couple-second delay on the video for some reason, the gremlins are coming out. It's Mr. Luke Wallace. How you doing, Luke?
Hey, doing good, Jeff. Luca on Twitter or Luke at twig.tv if you're trying to get a hold of me.
All right, perfect. And of course, how was your week this last week? Did you do anything interesting, exciting, or did you just sleep like I did?
Nothing too crazy. I went down to the new Perot Museum down in downtown Dallas. I didn't take my glass. I wanted to make sure I could enjoy everything there. So I took my prescription glasses, and I kind of wish there was a way that I could wear both. But maybe we'll talk about a solution to that a little later.
So you didn't take your glass. You took your glass is.
I took my glasses.
There you go. So, well, I take my glass everywhere I go. It's my red Solo cup, and I'm never home without it. But actually, we had a fun little thing. The band played. It was called the Catalina Wine Mixer, and then we actually had two gigs on Saturday. So we played the afternoon at this backyard pool, and then the evening we played at up in the Wisconsin Dells at our home base bar, and had a lot of fun with it. So. But really cool is I got now that was actually the first time that I had my Google Glass back to the point where I could actually use it while playing. So I did get some video on this, and unfortunately Luke can't see this, but this is us playing the song Toes. Of course, you won't be able to hear it because that causes all those silly little copyright issues and stuff like that. So and as you can see, I'm moving around a little bit, and the screen just no. There we go, moving around a little bit, and you'll see up and down on the drums, and there's a dog in the background jumping into the pool, and we just had a lot of fun. It was probably one of the last warm days here in Madison. Of course, you probably don't have that. You probably still have like 90 degrees there in Dallas, don't you?
Yeah, it's supposed to start cooling off this weekend. We'll see how high it gets, but yeah, we're in the mid-90s, upper 90s pretty regularly still.
Yeah, so, and of course, everything is over at This Week in Google Glass over at twig.tv or thisweekingoogleglass.com. Go over to the website. You can check it all out. We've got last week's episode, Glass of TechCrunch Disrupt. We also have the donate option where we're working on also getting the donations for anybody that wants glass from anywhere from students to professionals. So if you want to check all that out, go over to thisweekingoogleglass.com or twig.tv. And, of course, you can subscribe to the show notes. We're up on iTunes. We're up on Stitcher in the audio format. Up on video, you can go over to youtube.com/geekazine, or you just go up to twig.tv and subscribe to the RSS feed. We have all the links over on the side that you can pull from there. So, all right, hey, let's get into This Week in Google Glass, the show notes here. And the big one is last week we talked about XE9 and how XE9 was available, and I had it on my glass, but apparently it had an extra little Easter egg in it where it no longer requires a tethering plan. And I don't know. I don't have my glass hooked up to an Android device. It says you need to have an Android device hooked up to it. So, Luke, have you done that yet, or do you have tethering on your phone?
Yeah, so I've had tethering on mine, I guess, since I first got Glass, because I just used the Bluetooth tethering. So I went through and played with it a little bit, and I couldn't really figure out what it would be for me to use this new, you know, tethering that's built into the Glass app. So I wasn't able to try it out myself.
Okay.
But, you know, probably just something that they embedded inside the app instead of relying on the OS to support it.
So it's more like it loads in the My Glass app and then turns around and pushes it to Glass, like a screenshot or something like that?
I would think that it's just kind of a data connection, but instead of them using the system level, you know, tethering functionality, they're putting that same functionality, basically that same code, inside the app itself. And so the app can talk to the internet just like any app can. And then your Glass talks to the app, and that, you know, the Glass app is kind of a proxy for your Glass instead of relying on the system doing it. So.
All right.
At least that's my guess.
So, yeah, it's a virtual connection, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, it's just creating a virtual connection for your Glass through the app.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great idea. I mean, granted, it says that it's only for Android devices. So, if you got, and I don't think it's going to happen with iOS. I mean, I have a feeling Google is going to be very slow in coming out with anything for iOS. And of course, I could be wrong. They may just be waiting until tomorrow, because iOS 7 comes out tomorrow for most devices.
Could be that there's something in iOS 7 that made it a lot easier. You know, my day job is working at a mobile development shop, and I can tell you that we're doing a lot of stuff that's iOS 7 only, and kind of updating things to be iOS 7 only. So there might be something along those lines. I know a lot of developers are doing it. Nothing special to us, but
yeah.
On the iOS side, there's a lot of changes there that people want to take advantage of. And so it may just be something that they're doing there. It may be that they're waiting until Glass comes out in a more production, you know, ready state.
But I'm guessing that I'm kind of curious on this. How many Google Glass Explorers? Because I'm actually in the minority, because I have a Windows phone. And for that part, I have a Windows phone on Windows 7.8, not 8.0 or 8.1. So I've got to be on the super minority when it comes to that. And then, of course, I also have the test phone here, which I can hook up my Glass to. But my primary phone is a Windows phone. So I'm just wondering what the demographic is. How many iOS users as opposed to Android users are out there?
That's a good question. I don't recall there being surveys that ask what kind of device you're using, but maybe I just don't remember. That's probably something that they're looking into. I mean, most of the signups came at, or a lot of the signups, there's that whole If I Had Glass program. Most of the devs that signed up were probably Android users, because it was at the big Google conference where they had the sign up. So
yeah.
They're probably counting on some of that, although there were a lot of iOS users at that conference. It wasn't, you know, purely Android.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I'm sure they're going to work on it. I mean, they put out iOS apps for Chrome and a lot of other stuff. So it's not they're not completely restricted to Android or anything. So I'm sure it'll happen at some point. But yeah, they may be waiting for iOS 7. They may be waiting for something else. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's the first thing I'm going to do is tomorrow, when iOS 7 becomes available for my iPad, I'm going to put it, I'm going to download it. Of course, I also have the show iPad 365, which I'll end up talking about the new iOS 7. But then I'm hoping to see what the apps are. I know a lot of apps were updating this last weekend for the expectation of iOS 7. So we'll see what happens. They'll be interesting to go from. But in the meantime, going back to the article, if anybody has any more concrete data on this tethering option with here, just let me know. You can email me at jeff@twig.tv, twigg.tv, or luke@twig.tv if you just don't want to talk to me. It's possible. So, but yeah, let us know. And of course, I also have the hotline. You can call 608-205-4378 or Twitter, Geekazine, or Luke Luca. Yeah, there's so many ways to contact us. That's the important thing. Contact us and let us know how you're watching, how you're listening, how you're feeling, how you're doing, and what your Google Glass is like. So anyway, let's move on from there. That article is over on Mashable. Of course, we'll have that in the show notes. Let's move on. Here's a new thing. Jennifer, my girlfriend, she basically said, you know, there's a lot of Reddit, a lot of people on Reddit that are talking. And I'm going to move this article up because it makes sense to put this here first. So we went over to Reddit.com to take a look at some of the things that people are saying when it comes to Google Glass. And some of the ideas that are coming out, like for instance, this first one, I'm going straight to Reddit here. And this is, by the Illustrated Life is his or her handle. And here it is right there. Basically it says, many cities have a mobile app where residents can report problems in their neighborhood, such as a vehicle parked in a bike lane. Unfortunately, many don't take the time to report such things. It would be great for improving the community, as it was easy if you could just say, okay, Glass, report to 311. Now, I don't think we have 311 here in Madison. Do you guys have 311 in Texas?
I don't know 311 off the top of my head, but I know that our city does have a mobile app that lets you report issues like that.
Okay.
And a lot of the cities around here do. I actually have that on my phone. I put it on there a few weeks ago, so that's kind of interesting that people are talking about that. But I kind of had the same thought when I read it. That's a great idea of being able to basically share whatever you're looking at as a picture, which you can do right now through the mobile app, but be able to do that through Glass and just, you know, quickly, you know, click it, take a picture, and there you go. Share that to, you know, whatever, 311, whatever the mobile app of choice is for your city. And if you could swipe through and pick, you know, of the top, you know, 10 reporting things, you know, most people are reporting potholes or, you know, watering on a day that you're not supposed to be, things like that.
He's pooping on my lawn.
Yeah, some dog going crazy.
Yeah, no, I didn't say dog. I just, yeah. Anyway, I know a lot of 911 has picture and video capabilities, so you could actually take a photo from your phone and send that to 911, or a video from your phone and send that to 911 to be used for that. So I could actually see that, you know, you could take a picture and then all of a sudden say, okay, Glass, send to emergency services, send to 311, 911, whatever, and go from there. But currently the way that I would do it is I'd have to take a picture, wait till I got to a Wi-Fi spot, and then let it download to Google Plus and then send it to the police. And by that time, the perpetrator is probably long since gone. So, yeah. It'd be interesting to see how they would cultivate something like that for emergency services. And of course, we've talked about a couple weeks ago, police officers actually having Glass on their person to do whatever stops they take. They can take a picture right there or take a video if they feel that they're in danger.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, that's the first one. The second one, let me just pull back up this Google Glass page. The second article, I'm so organized right now. The second article came from the Reddit user 57. And he said, well, what would happen if we could actually, let me pull this up. I'm missing it here. Anyway, he goes, well, what, I had an idea for an app while running, and here it is. I like the idea of phones being able to track our distance and speed. That's all well and good, but what about a racing game where you try to beat your own time, you have race against a ghost person? And somebody actually said, hey, somebody's already working on that, and this one's over at the articles here. But this is over at geekwire.com, and there's a program called On the Go Platforms that's creating Ghost Runner for the Google Glass. You like how I called it the Google Glass? I just realized that. Yeah. Take a moment for stupidity. Anyway.
No, it's fine.
So at the Google Glass, there's a Ghost Runner. And basically what happens is it records your speed and distance and stuff like that for this app. And then turns around and when you run it again, it'll actually put the pacer, if you're falling behind, it'll put the pacer into your glass so you catch up and be paced to it. Now, when I was talking to Jennifer about this, it was like, I'd rather have somebody say, you know, words of encouragement. It's like, hey, you can do it. Come on, keep going. Or if you want to push yourself, you have the you can set the Ghost Runner to go a little bit faster than before, mm-hmm. and then
repace. And give it your target time as opposed to your last actual time.
Yeah, exactly. So, what are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, I think it's good. I think we're really starting to see some kind of original ideas, and a lot of people are having these ideas of how things how it could integrate into their. You know, daily life. And so, you know, hey, I'm just working out. How could Glass make that a better experience? Make that, you know, give me information that's really relevant to what I'm doing right now in a way that, you know, it's really hard to do with a phone or, you know, some other device. And yeah, I think this is just a great application because it's so easy to imagine just being able to see, you know, and, you know, it doesn't even have to be something as complex as a little ghost of, you know, yourself running along. It could really just be, you know, something as simple as just a timer saying, here's, you know, kind of your current pace. Here's your current distance, you know, and here's mm-hmm. kind of your best pace and best distance at this point. And it could be something like that. I think the ghost idea is really cool. It'd be neat to, you know, kind of look around and see, you know, your last three, you know, races, you know, your last three times kind of running around you and kind of seeing, you know, how you're getting a little faster or, you know, you're at least staying consistent.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, you know, really neat ideas that I think it's not really a matter of, you know, is this possible? It's just a matter of, you know,
who's gonna
when will someone make it?
Yeah. When will it happen? So,
yeah. When will it happen? Not could this happen? Is this possible? Which is a really neat place to be.
Exactly. Now, there is one other thing. The one thing that when I first put on my Google Glass, I started thinking about, you know, different types of applications. And one of them was in the healthcare. Now, the pair of glass is right next to your temple. So mm-hmm. if you actually had on the Google Glass, if you had a monitor pad or something like that, that when you put on the glass, it sets up against your temple. And when you do that, it can actually monitor things like your heart rate and stuff like that. Now, for the new iOS, not to try and do too much crossover between Apple and Android, because we have Android fanboys, we have Apple fanboys, and that's all well and good. But with the new iPhones, the iPhone S, they have the M7 chip, which the coprocessor, which we're probably going to start seeing in a lot of phones. I know Android's developing something similar to this, but the idea is to take the gyroscope, the accelerometer, everything out of the main processor so it can do things in the background without taking up too much juice. So if you have a monitor on your glass that's reporting your heart rate, that's reporting your blood pressure and stuff like that, if that can happen, from your glass to your phone, that would be a pretty cool app.
Yeah, I think you could do it, you know, probably right now with lots of little devices that people have in like Bluetooth LE, which is, you know, becoming a fairly common standard to use for these kind of like low data transfer kind of things.
Okay.
I could imagine that would be pretty interesting to have, you know, either something like, you know, a phone that has a lot of that information in it or, you know, a lot of that kind of coprocessor stuff for motion, you know, being able to tell how fast you're running and maybe about your, you know, is your technique right or not. And then you could also be using little monitors for either your blood pressure or your heart rate. And I know they already have those kind of devices. It's just a matter of getting them all to talk together and kind of show you on your glass maybe how that works.
Yeah.
Or, you know, how you're doing, you know, hey, your heart rate's getting really high and so you probably should take a break, or your blood pressure's dropping or whatever the, you know, I'm not a doctor, I don't know what the good things and the bad things are, but, you know, when the bad things happen, it would be nice to know, hey, you're doing something bad or something bad is happening, you need to take a break or whatever. So
yeah. And I'm showing a little bit of this because this is actually up on Vimeo, so I don't think there's any issues with the with copyright here. So, basically, it's just showing picture of, I think. Yeah, I want to allow that. Yeah, okay, you can do that. Why is that? That's acting funny. Anyway, it won't be able to see the video. I'm having some gremlins go through the system today. This is just crazy. I can't seem to get anything to run right. So there we go. There's the video. So there's the Ghost Runner, and then you run up to the pace and go from there. Now you said have a pass through item. You know, with Bluetooth. And one thing I wrote an article about a month ago talking about how Bluetooth needs to be dual mode in a phone, because we're hooking up way too many Bluetooth devices to a phone or a tablet. And but you know, you also have an option to do what's called a pass through Bluetooth. So if you had a watch, and I'm going to give you my prediction right here. And we saw the iPhone 5C 5S last week. Apple still got to talk about their Mavericks operating system. I think we're going to have another event in a month that's going to talk about the iWatch, and inside the iWatch is actually going to be health monitors, and hopefully there'll be a Bluetooth pass-through option, so you'll be able to do something like Google Glass to your watch to a phone, and hopefully that'll take things to the next level when it comes to hooking up devices. So you're not really pairing a device to a phone anymore. You're pairing a device to another device, which will then pair to your phone. So
that's an interesting idea. It's definitely a way to solve that problem of having so many devices connected.
Exactly. And of course, if you're wearing your watch all the time, then that's the perfect pass-through device to have something like that. So, but anyway, that's over on geekwire.com. What do you guys think? Do you think that running app, would you wear glass right now at the current state with the amount of sweat and the fact I had to put packaging tape over the power button to make sure that I didn't have to go through a fifth pair of Google Glass? I don't know if it's ready for prime time for something like actually somebody doing some very physical running for it. But, you know, that'd be a cool app to happen up into the future. All right, one more app here that was suggested on Reddit here, and that was an eye exam app, and this was by Minter Bartolo on Reddit. Minter Bartolo, so thank you very much for that. And when they pointed to this article over on Fast Company, and basically it's a hack. Oops, no, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Where'd that go? Easy Contacts, there we go. Easy Contacts, and it's actually doing a exam on your Google Glass. So you go into an area where it's kind of busy, and it's where you can see things far and you can see things close. And then at certain points in time, it'll actually pop up letters up on the glass on the little LCD there, and you say that's an E, that's a W, that's a I don't know what the heck that character is, and then it can test your nearsighted and your farsightedness. So what do you think? Changing the eye doctor eye exam with how would that work for Google Glass?
I don't know if it's going to be the best case. I think it could definitely be kind of a fun way of doing some of the basic tests and maybe kind of see what your, you know, how small can you see kind of a thing. But I don't think you can do the different, like, focusing as far as, you know, near and far and all that stuff, because glasses kind of always projects in the same spot. So I don't know how exactly they would plan on handling that. Maybe they've got something advanced that I'm just not, you know, aware of. But I could definitely see, you know, kind of how small text can you read, and, you know, how good is your vision in that regard? You know, is it blurry? Is it sharp once you get to a certain size?
Yeah.
But a neat idea. I mean, it's all like a lot of things people did with the cell phone early on, is there are all these kind of like really basic apps that they didn't do very much. They just had this one little function that they did that was kind of neat. And so, you know, a little eyeglass checker, you know, it's like, maybe that's, you know, something fun you can use for, you know, you're visiting your parents and you're like, man, I think your eyes are really getting bad. Here, try this, you know, eyeglass app, and, let's see what your score is. And kind of a fun little way to gamify some of the things that, you know, people used to do, or, you know, people are used to doing through, you know, a doctor's visit.
Well, let me ask you this question. When Google Glass takes a picture or video, can it actually be controlled? And more to the point, if it takes a picture, is it just going to take the picture for what it's worth? Or is it taking a picture and can actually determine distances? You know, if like I take a picture of a lake and there's a sailboat out in the distance, could it actually come back and say that sailboat is so many meters away or anything like that? Could there be an app that that could tether to the phone or something like that that could turn around and I could actually start focusing on the sailboat rather than the entire scene? Or does the camera not have that functionality on it that you know of?
I think it's difficult with a single camera to get distance because you're not really sure if something is small or far away, you know, that kind of thing. I know, like, now if you have two pictures, I know that becomes easier. But I don't know. I've seen some crazy things with, you know, photography analysis and turning things into 3D from 2D. And there's some really smart people out there that have figured out ways to get that kind of information. And so there might be some ways to do that, especially if you're willing to kind of send that picture off for analysis off of the glass to the cloud where it can be, you know, analyzed by, you know, tons of computers working in parallel and, you know, with all this information that they've got. So,
well, I guess that my question is more to the point. Is there controllability to the camera inside Google Glass as it is right now? Could somebody develop an app that could turn the camera on and then actually set a focus, reset an exposure, reset an f-stop or anything like that to make a picture so if I do take a picture of a sailboat in the water, that it focuses more on the sailboat than it focuses on maybe another sailboat that's closer?
I don't know if the camera's that high quality in Glass to be able to do that, because usually you need more aperture control and that kind of thing. And I don't know how much there is on Glass on that. Maybe.
See, that's what I'm thinking is it's because and I was started thinking about it because of last week when we were doing the song search stuff. And I noticed that all it did was tell you the song and the artist. And it basically just gave you a picture. And it didn't give you a okay Glass purchase the song or anything like that. It didn't give me any functionality on that. And so the same idea with this camera, I'm starting to think to myself, well, how much functionality can I have this camera? Can I focus it onto the far sailboat as opposed to the near sailboat, or is it just not that intelligent at this stage in time for Google Glass to have a device like that in there? Or can it be written into software more than having an optical change to it, a digital versus optical?
Yeah. So I think right now it's probably real limited. I mean, like we've talked about, this is the first version. So I think that they're going to try to figure out what all those use cases are. I mean, if you look at the first iPhone camera compared to the one that they just showed with that two-tone flash and all the stuff there, you know, nice big sensors and everything. It's like they found that people use the camera a lot more than maybe they thought they would. And now it's a lot of people's primary camera. And so it's really worth them investing in making that better. So, you know, I think if people use the camera a lot on Glass and people keep demanding, you know, I want better pictures, I want, you know, more control like you're talking about. Yeah. It's probably something that'll happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Speaking of Glass, and speaking earlier, you were talking about your Glass, and I have a prescription. You have a prescription. I wear contacts all the time because that's you know, I'm it's weird. I don't want to wear glasses, but then I wear Google Glass. So, but you wear regular glasses, and you want to find ways to actually use your Google Glass with your regular glasses. How difficult is it to put your Google Glass over your regular prescription?
Very difficult. It's not really intended to do that. It feels awkward. It looks extremely awkward. If you thought Google Glass looked bad, you should see it sitting on top of a pair of regular glasses. So it's not really meant for that. They built it so that they can come apart and you could put a prescription frame in there. They just haven't released those yet. So I'm hoping that they'll do that. But in the meantime, I think the only option is to kind of pull it apart and build some little hack yourself.
Which is what we're going to talk about right now. Over on the Fast Company, we kind of alluded to it because I was flipping through the wrong screens here. We have Google Glass Explorer. Will Turnage has conceived a new option for Google Glass and possibly for those who have prescriptions. Because the first thing he did was, how do I take that bow off and have Google Glass without having to ruin my whole experience here? So what they did was they came up with this idea where they use magnets, and with the magnets on both sides of the glass, what do we call this? The computer part of the glass, touchpad, and he molded some magnets to it, and which made it easy to actually put on, as we're going to see in this animated GIF right here. So he's just basically snapping it on, and the magnets are holding it together. And of course, with magnet technology, I know that's kind of weird to say, but with magnet technology, it's gotten a lot easier to actually have stuff like this and not have to worry about it falling off.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a great idea. I think Google should steal this idea from them and, take it and say that's a great way to kind of have both worlds. You know, have a pair of prescription frames that you can buy, and then you can just pop the glass on there, or you can buy kind of the standard frame that it comes with, and then those have magnets, and you can put them on there.
Would it be easier to do magnets, or I don't know, maybe Velcro, or what would be some other options? Maybe a little hook thing that could go over the bows.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you think about there's a lot of options for putting sunglass lenses on top of prescription lenses. This is something that I know from firsthand experience. So some places or some sunglasses kind of use little springs and clips that kind of clip around your glasses.
Yes.
Others have magnets actually in the lenses themselves, and the sunglasses pop on over those and, kind of line up that way. Some of them have little hooks and they just kind of hook in. I had a pair one time like that, that there wasn't really a spring needed. It just kind of, hooked in.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's as many mechanisms as you can come up with. Velcro, I would say it's a little imperfect. Like it wouldn't always line up exactly the same. And for glass, you really need it to line up.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. Because the one thing is the camera's pointed to try and point. Oops, sorry about that. To try and point exactly to a certain point on your eye from your visual range. So no, I totally understand that. In fact, yeah. I also remember when those hooks over the sunglasses hooks over the glasses came out, and I was like so jealous because I had a pair of glasses that didn't have that option. They didn't make a frame for that. So I found a pair that were very, very close, but they also looked very, very weird if you were up close and looked at them. But they did work. So, no, I didn't even think of that type of situation where it hooks right around the glasses. That would probably be even better than magnets. But even the combination would do it well, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of really clever ways that they could come up with. So hopefully they come up with something that works, that makes it where it's easy to, take off. Let's say if, you're at home or, you're someplace where you really don't want to have glass and you can just kind of pop that part off and, put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice, actually. So.
Well, even more to the point, when some of these states start bringing in laws, and I have a feeling that Google Glass will get its scrutiny and every state, and certain states will probably ban Google Glass for driving, and there'll be a point where I'll be wearing these regular pair of Google Glass, and I'll need to take off this part because I still want the sunglasses, and so I just want to unsnap this and put this into the console or something like that, And then when I get out, I can snap it back together, just like the guy in the animated GIF here. And yeah. I think that would be cool just for glass itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that, yeah, this is not a bad thing for just glass in general.
Definitely, definitely so. All right. Well, if you want to read more on that, go over to thefastcompany.com. What do you think? Did you do any mods to your Google Glass? Let me know. Twitter me at Geekazine or, of course, email me, jeff@twig.tv or luke@twig.tv with two G's, double the G, .tv. All right. Like I said, I kind of went the wrong way. There was one more thing here. This is something that Luke actually found last minute here. And it's about a blackjack game. Will you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah. So the Mirror API is kind of the name of the API that's out right now that you can do. Basically, you can send little, you know, kind of web pages in essence to Glass and have little interactions and kind of contact your own server and, you know, pass the information back and forth. And some guy actually took advantage of that to make a blackjack game. So, you know, you kind of get a card that says, hey, you want to play blackjack? You tap it a couple of times, start the, you know, the game. It'll deal you your cards. You can swipe through and look at your cards and your, you know, kind of your opponent's cards and, you know, kind of decide, you know, each step of the way, do you want to hit or stay? And, you know, do you want to double your bet? And you can kind of go through and swipe all that from your glass. It's a very, very simple game. But if you think about it, that's what a lot of the very early iPhone games were. A lot of the early Android games were very simple card games like that everybody knows the rules about. You don't need lots of, you know, training and how to play blackjack. You don't have to build all those screens into the app. You can basically just kind of start the game up. And so it's neat to see the glasses getting to that point. You know, there's probably some sort of metric of, you know, how long does it take to make a blackjack game on a platform? And it's like, oh, that's probably a turning point of some sort of like, oh, well, now people know how to make simple games for it. You know, it'll, and people will come up with, you know, more advanced stuff, you know, every day. And so it's just neat that somebody made that so you can kind of play blackjack while you're just out, you know, doing whatever. You don't even have to get your phone out and you're just kind of waiting in line. You're like, oh, let me play a few more rounds and, you know, see how I'm doing and compare my score to my friends and all that good stuff.
I can't wait for a chess app. I'm somewhat of a chessaholic, I guess you could call it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to see, be able to play against other people rather than computers and stuff like that. Cause I hate playing chess against the computer and I've never found one that had a good algorithm to, do things differently. There was always tells inside of algorithms. So it'd be nice to actually sit down and play chess against maybe you, Luke, while we're at work, you know, we go back and forth and make moves. So,
yeah,
but that would be perfect. I would love that.
Yeah, no, very, very neat. And yeah, it's just, now it's just a matter of time, not a matter of, you know, can we do it? It's just a matter of, you know, how long will it be till someone does it?
Definitely. Definitely. So if you want to read more on that, like I said, we'll have the link in the show notes. You can go there and check that out. One more thing here, and then we'll get you on your way here. And that is, hey, did you know that there's an Easter egg? Well, there's a couple Easter eggs in Google Glass, but for those of you who don't have Google Glass, you can check out the Easter egg by simply going into the Play Store at play.google.com and find the Easter egg. Now, I'm not going to show you what it is. I'm just going to tell you that it's here, right on this page, and they even say it. They even talk about it. Whoops. They even talk about it in the description here. Which I won't really say the description. You'll have to read that for yourself. So go over to the play.google.com, find My Glass. You can install it on your Android if you want to, but if you don't have Google Glass, it's not going to do much for you. But if you want to see the hidden Easter egg, check that out. Once again, we'll have the link into the show notes. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of Google Glass. Was there anything you wanted to add for this week on Google Glass?
I think I'm good. I'm sure there'll be lots more stuff to talk about next week.
Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, next week, a little bit of programming note here. We might, I believe we're going to have a guest next week. Let me do that again. We're going to have a guest next week. Kathy Brown, who's working in the healthcare area with Google Glass, will be joining us, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the healthcare area of Google Glass, and hopefully we'll have a good bright conversation. So, Luke, get your questions ready. Anybody that has questions for Kathy in the healthcare area on Google Glass, please let us know. Once again, Twitter handles are Geekazine and Luke Luca. And then, of course, Jeff at twig.tv and Luke at twig.tv. That's with two G's .tv. And you can go from there. So anyway, that does it for this week, for This Week in Google Glass. My name is Jeffrey Powers. Luke, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
So as Jeff mentioned, I'm Luke Luca on Twitter, or check out thisweekingGoogleGlass.com. It's kind of long, or go with the shorter way, which is twig.tv, and all my contact information in the show notes, or I'm on Google Plus, and Luke at twig.tv. So.
And then, of course, like I said, my name is Jeff, Jeff at twig.tv, Geekazine. Geekazine.com, Think Magazine, put in a geek, you've got the Geekazine. And you can check out all my shows over at Geekazine.com. And, of course, This Week in GoogleGlass.com or Twig.tv. So, all right, well, that does it for This Week in Google Glass. Thanks a lot, Luke, for being my co-host once again. If you have any questions, let us know. And then, of course, subscribe to the show notes. Go up on iTunes, go up on Stitcher, and please rate the shows. The more ratings, the more that they get up into the new and noteworthy. And we can get more people watching the show, especially all you people that are very interested in Google Glass. So thanks a lot for watching and listening. We will see you next week on, and when it will be another episode of This Week in Google Glass.